Good morning. It's good to see you in worship this morning, and I'm not sure about coming in while there's laughter in church. You meant to enjoy church or something? No, it's great. It's great to see everybody. I'm going to hand, well, I was going to hand over to George, but George isn't looking so well, Caroline. So Caroline will take us through some of the notices.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to give you the one verbal notice, because I think by the time I read the information, I'll have forgotten the verbal one I've been given. So we've been asked for the picnic coming up on Saturday, if anybody's willing to donate a prize for a raffle, if they could bring it with them on Saturday, please. Okay. And so in terms of the intimations, oh, we've just done an urgent notice in church. There you go, that's ideas in action. So from the 21st of August, you will get a printed intimation sheet once everything returns back to normal after the summer. Okay, so in terms of today's information, Fife Carers Centre, this is a new facility offered by the Fife Carers Centre, a carers group for unpaid carers, and it will be on Thursday, the 4th of August, which I think we passed, and we'll continue every second Thursday. So the next one, if my maths is right, will be the 18th of August in the manse meeting rooms. And it provides support, companionship, fun activities and information for unpaid carers. And it's open to everybody who's providing unpaid care for a family member or a friend. So if you want contact details, they are available. I don't have them. I'm assuming, George, you might have them. No, I don't. Right, just turn up on the day. Okay. As we've mentioned, next Saturday is our Chirrup celebration to celebrate the completion of our renovation of the interior of the church. I don't think we completed it at 12 noon on Saturday, but the celebration's on 12 noon on Saturday, the 20th of August. That will include a barbecue and a picnic in the manse garden. And we will be renaming the session house, which is just outside there through the vestibule, as the Irene Patterson Room, to commemorate the generous legacy left to the church by Irene. And the moderator of the General Assembly, the Right Reverend Dr. Ian Greenshields, will attend the proceedings. So you're all welcome, please come along. And for children that can come to church, we've got Kids at Church, or CATCH, and that'll start again on Sunday the 4th of September and will take place on the first Sunday of every month after that. CATCH is a fun way to take the children and young people through the stories in the Bible in an engaging manner, making use of the latest technology and also some old favourite games. So I'd like to go. All children are welcome, and it takes place in the manse whilst the service is on in the church. And finally, for those of you who have a visual for the screen, here's a quick look at the order of service.
We're here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing hymn number 181, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive from us the gifts that we present before you. Use all that we offer in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Alistair is leading us in prayer this morning.
So let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. O God and Father of all, whom the whole heavens adore, we praise you that you are our God, eternal and all-powerful. Through you and in your time, the dew comes down, the wind blows and the rain falls. You feed the living. You uphold those who waver, those torn by doubt, those in anguish, and those indeed who risk falling into sin. You restore the sick and set the prisoners free. And as we read in the Gospels, through Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, you bring the dead back to life. You give us the promise that as Jesus rose from the dead, so will we. As Francis of Assisi wrote, we adore you, Lord Jesus Christ, in all the churches of the whole world, and we bless you, for by means of your holy cross you have redeemed the world. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of you, our Heavenly Father. Every living thing shall bless your name. All created things will give you glory and thanksgiving. Eternally, you are God, and no one can stand before you. Who but you offers freedom and help, nourishes and redeems us, sustains and saves us, and at all times views with unfailing compassion our sorrow and distress. There is no one but you. Father God, we recognise that we haven't loved and served you as we should. Your word tells us that if we confess our sins to you, you will keep your promise and do what is right. You will forgive us our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing. For the blood of Jesus, your Son, purifies us from every sin. Father, forgive us. In the beginning of all creation, you called on us as human beings to take care of the whole world, of all the plants and animals and all the living things. We confess that down through history and to the present day, we haven't made a very good job of that. Rather than be stewards, we've exploited and destroyed. As we see in our changing climate, as well as in habitat loss and extinction of various species. Forgive us and help us. And so as we come to you in prayer, we come together and say these words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 146, From All That Dwells Below the Skies. now going to read for us. She's going to read what is Genesis chapter 1, but from a modern paraphrase version of the creation story. So, Irene, if you'd like to come and read for us.
Genesis 1 in the beginning. A long, long time ago, before the wind blew and the sun shone, there was a silent emptiness. God was sad. Then God decided it to fill it with something good. First, God made a big bang, and out of the bang, lots of stars appeared. They whizzed through space like giant balls of light. Then God made a switch. God called the off switch night and the on switch day. God got really busy. God took all the hard bits from the Big Bang and made them into round shapes like balls. God called them, one of them, Earth. The bits in between were sky and space, and it was starting to get really exciting. On planet Earth, God made some bits dry, which were called land, and other bits wet, which were called rivers and seas. The sea would become really handy for the fish that would come soon. Next, God decided that Earth needed a bit of life. Soon, little bugs started to grow, and the Earth became alive. After the bugs came plants and trees, fish and birds, and then every sort of animal. God looked and was delighted in all that there was. But God thought for a minute and decided there was something missing in the world. Can you guess what? Yes. God decided to make people like you and me. And God said to the humans, I would like you to take care of the whole world, of all the plants and animals, and of all the living things. The second reading...
Just one at a time.
Sorry. Right, I didn't know that.
I didn't pay attention.
It's not that we make things up as we go along. But in my defence, I think I did send you an order of service.
Yes, you did. So,
the reason that it is a slightly strange version of the Genesis story is because this week I was involved in Holiday Club down at Limekilns, and that was the way the reading was produced for the Holiday Club material. It was on Thursday and Friday mornings, and we used a series of three subjects, all on children and creation care. It, I think, was produced by the Church of England, but I did notice that a church just across the water had also used it, and so it gave me confidence that it fitted into a village setting. We decided to call the Holiday Club Eco Stars, and of course, being eco is one of the big things of the moment. And if you've been paying attention to the news, you will have noticed that we are being warned that the hot weather of this year is likely in later years to be repeated more often. Doesn't mean that every summer will be like this one, but it does mean that we will have higher temperatures, warmer summers, and all that that means. And for some of us, that is enjoying the good weather. For others, it is worries about crops and even greater worries about wildfires. So on the first day, on Thursday morning, we were thinking about the story of creation. And of course, we've just heard that modern version of Genesis chapter 1, which kind of ties a more scientific understanding of creation into the creation story. I was asking the children what their favourite thing, plant or creature was, and I have a feeling it was one of the team members who said everything. And I had to agree that that was a good answer, but it wasn't a very helpful answer. So I had to ask people to be more specific. Have you got a favourite thing in nature?
Trees.
Trees, yeah. Now, my father-in-law loved trees, and when Karen used to take him out from his the care home, they would always go to look at the trees on the north inch in Perth. Yeah, trees. Anybody else? Sunsets. Yeah. I mean, we get brilliant sunsets in this area. And we're coming up to that season where they're even brighter. The sky at night. Who was out looking at the harvest moon? Yeah, exactly. It was spectacular. There are all sorts of things that we love. And it is right to say yes. There's and I suppose it's difficult because we've enjoyed so much of the world around us. And I don't know about you, but I've met quite a few visitors to this area, walking around our villages in this area. And without fail, they've been saying, you know, guys, you're really lucky to live in a place like this. And if I'm being honest, sometimes I forget. When we're talking to the children, we put up pictures of some really strange animals and gave some weird facts about them, just so that we could get over what a wonderful world this is. And I have to admit that more and more children have a tendency of stretching my mind, because we started talking about creation and it was, so God made everything, yes, everything. So who made the other planets? Well, that was God. Well, what about this? And I said, yeah, all the stars, all the galaxies, yeah, everything. Right. So who made God? And it was tricky because I not only had these older ones who were just full of questions, but there were some who were about five, and any kind of difficult question like that was straight over their heads. But it was good that the children were engaged and thinking about the wonder of creation. So, but we did get back to the story of God making the world. And we talked about God making human beings as his kind of crowning work of creation, certainly on this earth. And I said to the children that God made us, you and me. And God did an incredible thing. He said that we were to look after creation. He put creation into our hands. And as quick as a flash, one of the youngsters said, well, that was a mistake then, wasn't it? There is a bit in the Bible about, you know, wisdom from the lips of children. And you're going, yeah, and actually, yes. And it was a good thing. It gave me that opportunity to say, yes, you're absolutely right. And if I'm being honest, my generation have not done well. And the question is, are you going to do better? And the children, of course, said yes. And of course, they do a lot in school and a lot around them. And they have a very much more of an eco sense. I think one of my grandsons, when he was taught about recycling, I think my daughter referred to him as an eco-tyrant. Mummy, that doesn't go there. Do this. And you think, yep, the kids get it. And when they're told that's right, it's an absolute, it's not, well, it depends how we feel. So sometimes we really do have to learn from our children. I told them that they were to be Eco Stars, and that was the name of the holiday club. And so that kind of set a scene. That is about creation. The second day we went on to talk about care. But before we do that, let's sing a hymn. It is actually a children's hymn, but it resonates. It is a good hymn. You know, think of a world without any flowers. Hymn 155. of learning about the joys of technology. We just have to go with it. It's a digital hymnal, and we just have to go with it. But down at Limekilns, you have no idea. We couldn't get sound out, and we couldn't. Yeah. So I did actually say to folk that for therapy reasons, what I required was a computer and a hammer, and it would help me no end. So to our second reading. This is from the letter of James, and it's really about faith in action.
Okay, the second reading now is from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, and it's entitled Faith in Action. My friends, what good is it to say you have faith if you don't have anything to show you really do have faith? Can this kind of faith save you? If you know someone who doesn't have any clothes or food, you shouldn't just say, I hope all goes well for you, I hope you will be warm and have plenty to eat. What good is it to say this unless you do something to help? Faith that doesn't lead us to do good deeds is all alone and dead. Suppose someone disagrees and says, it is possible to have faith without doing kind deeds. I would answer, prove that you have faith without doing kind deeds, and I will prove that I have faith by doing them. Bless his readings from his holy word. Amen.
On the second day of Holiday Club, I began by asking a question. And that was, and I'll just ask you the question, what do you know about a man called Giovanni Di Bernardoni? He's Italian. Well done. Absolutely right. You got it right. Now, I've got to say, Karen sneaked in at the back, and Karen in the Holiday Club said, so is that Giovanni from Strictly Come Dancing? And I had to say, no, it's not. I did talk to her later. I gave a bit of a clue. I said, this Giovanni was born in 1181, and we don't know him by his real name, we know him by his nickname. And his nickname was, in English, the Frenchman, or in Italian, Francesco. So do you know who it is? Well done. Okay. Did you know it was Francis of Assisi, Alistair? Oh, I thought it was just the way your wife looked at you. I thought, oh, he knows. Sorry? Was it? Oh, right. Oh, you're looking at the last hymn, right? So, Francis of Assisi, a very interesting man. He began life with wealth and privilege. His father was a silk merchant. Now, if you can imagine, in the late 12th and early 13th century, where silk had to come all the way from China, it was only the very wealthy who had that. And Francis was... I think he was a very happy person, but didn't really put much effort in. He had everything. So it's recorded that he didn't do much at school. He wasn't a success. Father took him into his business, and he didn't do much in business. He wasn't much of a success. He, as a young man, joined the army and dreamed of being a hero. He was arrested and imprisoned for a year. Returned home, having caught various diseases, I think, while he was a prisoner, and was in fairly poor shape. But he was a man of God. He did pray, and he went and prayed to God. And cutting a long story short, he made a real mess of things. And on one occasion, to try and do the right thing, to try and do a good thing, he thought, well, I'll just take stuff from my dad's shop and his horse, and if I sell those, I can do good with the money. And the end result of all of this was that Francis was disinherited, but by this point, he happily gave up his inheritance, because in his relationship with God, he came to the view that he should give up everything, that he should be like Jesus. And his way of being like Jesus was to give everything away, including his clothes, and he put on what was the tunic worn by the very poorest of people in Italy. And if you read the story, it was pretty nasty stuff to wear. It was, I suppose, what we would call a hair vest. And so he gave up both the idea of wealth that he began with and his dreams of being a hero, and became a man of peace. He tried to serve others. He wanted to be like Jesus in every way possible. And such was his impact that people started to join him. He didn't want to start a movement, but a movement grew around him, and we know them as the Franciscans. They became one of the groups of friars who went around Europe teaching and serving, but with an absolute vow of poverty. One of the things that is remembered about Francis was that he believed that since God created everything, then we are part of the family that is creation. Now, the view that would have been taken by many was that there was creation and God had crowned humanity and we were above. But Francis very much took the view that we were part of it all. Quite a modern view. He said, "Praised be you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially Sir Brother Sun, who is the day through whom you give us light. Praise be to you, my Lord, through Sister Moon and the stars. In heaven you have made them bright, precious, and fair. Praised be you, my Lord, through brothers Wind and Air, and fair and stormy, all earth's moods, by which you cherish all that you have made. Praised be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, so useful, humble, precious, and pure. Praised be you, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praised be you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, producing varied fruits with colored flowers and herbs. Blessed are those who endure in peace. By you, Most High, they will be crowned." In everything, he sees the hand of God. And part of his love of all things, he became known as the patron saint of animals. Care for creation, being eco, as we say today, was being championed by Francis at the beginning of the 13th century. 800 years ago, Francis was presenting something that seems very modern to us today. It's a reminder that some of the things that we think we invent have been there a long time. And had we been more like Francis in our care of the world, we maybe wouldn't be in the place that we are today. And so that was encouragement for those eco-stars, the children who were there, but an encouragement for us too, to see ourselves as part of that bigger whole. And if you're going to be part of something and say this is what you believe, go to those words of James, who says, if you say you've faith you've got to show it by action. If you say, I've got faith, but don't need action, James says, I will show you my faith by what I do. Faith that doesn't lead us to do good deeds is all alone and dead. That modern translation of James. And where we began with the story of creation, where God creates humanity as his last act of creation and puts creation into our hands, God said to the humans, I would like you to take care of the whole world, of all the plants and animals and all the living things. And maybe to quote my little friend at Holiday Club, well, that was a mistake, wasn't it? It maybe has been, but it doesn't have to be, because God gave us intelligence, minds, the ability to choose, the ability to change. Holiday Club week is always challenging, and as I become older, more and more physically challenging. But it's also a challenging thing in terms of faith. And when people say, oh, what you give to the children, my answer to that is, but do you know what the children give to me? From the mouths of children and infants, the Bible says, comes wisdom. Amen. And so, thinking about our world, Alistair is now going to lead us in our prayers for others.
Let's pray once more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this earth, for the wide sky and the life-giving sun, for the salt sea and the running water, for the everlasting hills and the never-resting winds, for trees and even the grass underfoot. We thank you for our senses, by which we hear the songs of birds and see the splendour of the summer fields and taste the autumn fruits and rejoice in the feel of the snow and smell the breath of the spring. Grant us hearts wide open to all this beauty and save us from being so blind that we pass unseeing, even when all creation is aflame with your glory. Yet, Lord, we realise that this idyllic picture is deeply flawed in so many parts of our world, including here in Scotland. We pray not just for governments, but that each person on earth would have the will to care for the environment where they are. Father, we pray for all who work closely with nature, for farmers and gardeners who grow our food, for scientists and technicians who probe the secrets of the earth, for foresters who plant and harvest the trees, for those who forecast the weather, for photographers and artists who capture the beauty for others to see, for conservationists and all who guard the precious heritage of the earth. We remember also today, we remember those who are already struggling with the rising cost of living, those living with debt and little savings, those who have fallen on hard times through no fault of their own. We are all facing an overwhelming rise in fuel prices. We pray for governments, gas, electricity, oil producers, to work together with wise economists to reverse this upward trend. whatever our circumstances, we are called to live within our means. And whether we have very little money or a lot, help us to choose wisely and not to hanker after things we cannot afford. There is so much discontent in our country at the moment. Some may be justified, but perhaps others who are already highly paid may need to count their blessings. Help those who are struggling, and also help those who are well provided with money. Save them from self-indulgence and extravagance. Help them to contribute to the needs of those who are hungry. So we pray both that food banks are well resourced, and we also pray that they would soon no longer be needed. So Lord, in the silence of this moment, we bring to you our own personal prayers for people in situations in need of your loving care at this time. Father, we ask you to hear all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.
Having thought about Francis of Assisi, there didn't seem to be any other choice for a final hymn today than to sing the prayer of St. Francis, which is at number 528. Make me a channel of your peace. Blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.